long ago as being really solid and firm as a society are no longer solid and firm, such as marriage, such as family, and various other things. So one of the ways we can tell that story too is through the life, if you will, the graced life of our marriage and our family. And so that's why we're going through this series of really finding and experiencing the sufficiency of Christ through the power of His Word. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. God declares that in His Word, and through the life, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says, therefore, if any man or woman or boy or girl be in Christ Jesus, they are new creations. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And along with that new life, He gives us a new power to live that life in the sufficiency of the life of Jesus Christ within you. Because isn't that the great mystery now revealed in your life, in my life, in the life of the church? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He makes us sufficient for these things in every way. Paul reminds us that as we yield our part, our lives to His leadership and lordship, Paul says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. But then he reminds us, yes, that's our part in yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit, in desiring, delighting, having our lives formed into Christ's likeness. But don't forget that verse 13, please. For it is God who is at work in you, in me, in the church, both to will and to do His good pleasure. What we've been looking at over the past few weeks, and especially now in this part two, about finding that sufficiency of Christ in our relationships. Because sometimes our relationships have problems. You know what I mean? Have you been there? I've been there many times. And so we see the sufficiency of Christ's life and grace and mercy in the context of not only our marriage, we looked at last week, but also in the context of our families. But we're going to take a look at that this morning. So I want to invite you to take out your outline from your bulletin as we look into God's Word and how God shows us the sufficiency that we have through Christ. Because the truth of the matter is, none of us are adequate for these things. Like Paul says, and like you and I have come to know the truth, our adequacy is in Christ alone. We're talking about our family. I purposely entitled this series, this message for this series, Christ and the Healing of My Family. I want you to make that personal, if you will. Christ and the Healing of your family. I'm going to ask you to do something at the end of the message by way of prayer and commitment on the basis of what we've seen in God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to instruct our hearts to have God's way in our lives and in our families. Is that important? It's important because God designed the family. It's His design. It's His creation. In fact, we have many verses that speak to that reality, but let me just read a couple of them that you know so well. There in the creation account, God tells us this in His Word. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God wanted our lives certainly to be incorporated fully in creation, but incorporated in a relationship with Him, because only men and women created in the image of God can have a relationship with God. But then out of that, that wonderful design of relationship for your life and for my life, He's also created us to have a relationship with one another as a husband and wife. We looked at that last week. But also the relationship of a family. However the Lord provides for us to have a family. And there are many ways that He has in these days that we live in. But as I say, God designed the family. Again, in Genesis chapter 4, it says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. And now Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. And right away we know that in that Genesis 4 record, conflict began. Severe conflict between siblings, a family. A family was fractured. You know the story? Cain slew Abel. Can you imagine what that must have done to the hearts of Adam and Eve? Can you imagine how deeply that wound went to their very souls? And they realized that this God designed, this God planned family is not just far from perfect, but this first family is really hurting deeply. God designed the family. God's desire for the family. He tells us that throughout his word. But his desire for the family is that we would have godly offspring. He tells us that in Malachi chapter 2, when he talks about the covenant of marriage, to be honored, that God will bless. But he also talks about the fact that his design and his delight would be that our children would be godly children. Not just running every which way, but godly children that know the Lord God. Would you join with me in prayer before we look at God's plan for reconciling families? Because he does have a plan. You know that, don't you? Join with me in prayer right now. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your grace. Because we realize, Father, without your grace and mercy, Lord, we would be absolutely lost. Having that grace and mercy, the very person of your Son, Jesus Christ, coming into this world. Because not only are our lives fractured, and our marriages fractured, and our families, but Lord, we live in a broken world and we need that healing, that reconciliation. So Lord, as we look into your word, as we find the sufficiency of all that you are to us and can be to everyone here in your word, Lord, speak to us by your Spirit. Instruct us, encourage us, direct us for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen. You see in your outline before you, I have a statement. This basically becomes the beginning statement really for all of this series. But if you'll just take a look at it with me, the power of Christ is in the gospel. God tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it is the power of Christ in that gospel to reconcile and transform relationships into grace-based relationships that glorify God. We all realize that just knowing what to do isn't the total answer. Just knowing what to do isn't the solution. It's part of it. It's a very important part of it. But knowing what to do and having the power to do it, then we see the solution. Then we see, if you will, that their reconciliation in the marriage, their reconciliation going on in the life of a family, between parents and children, between siblings, brothers and sisters. So it's not just a case of knowing. And God wants to instruct us that we would know these things. But he's also promised, and praise God for this, he's also promised the power to do what he instructs us and commands us to do. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I sure am. Because I know that I've tried to do it in my own strength many, many times. You know, how many guys here are Mr. Fix-It? You know, when something goes wrong in the family, you want to fix it. Raise your hand. Yeah, that's the way God made us. Because he wants us to be leaders under his leadership, under his lordship. He wants us to be lovers, not only lovers of our wives, but lovers of our children so they can understand what love is all about in the context of a family. And they can see the model of a marriage. But not only does he want us, fellows, to be a lover and a leader, but he wants us to be a learner. He wants us to learn of him. He wants us to learn how we can meet the needs of those in our family. And that's why he's given us clear instructions of how we can see that grace of reconciliation by his power, by his grace, be fulfilled in our families. So as we take a look at this, into God's word, we see, if you will, it begins with this: making glorifying God the objective of our hearts. Chief end of man is what? To glorify God and enjoy him, right? With all of our life. To glorify God. But, you know, what does that mean? To glorify God. It has to be the objective of our hearts as well as within our homes. So we start with that. We start with a Godward focus. Because conflicts come up. Even in the so-called best of families, conflicts happen. And there's a reason for that. First of all, because we have the sin nature still with us. And we live in a broken world. And it's constantly bombarding our family, our marriages, okay? So there's a lot of reasons for that. But you know, the greatest reason, I believe, is God allows these things to come up to the surface in our family so that we can resolve them in a God-honoring way. And then we grow in grace through that. So God allows these things to come up to the surface so we begin to see the things in our hearts. But we have to have the beginning step is a Godward focus. So we need to make glorifying God the objective of our hearts and of our homes. If we start there, that's where we start. And that's the best place to start. In fact, that's the only place to start to really see that reconciling grace of God work there. And again, I ask the question, well, what does that mean? Well, it means certainly to bring attention to God in the family. It means to reveal his greatness and his grace. It means to lift him up and exalt him and say, you know, we want to do this for God's glory. We want to reconcile this situation, this conflict that we're in right now for God's glory. Not just so we can go back to where we used to be. Make glorifying God the objective in our hearts. As it says, and you have that verse before you, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So whether you eat or drink, boy, this is all inclusive. Take a look. And whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now there are many ways that people in the world that we live in seek to glorify God. Sometimes they build great buildings, great edifices, if you will, for the glory of God, like great cathedrals. Some people, they go on, if you will, a great sacrificial mission for the glory of God. And sometimes people become monks and nuns and whatever, if you will, for the glory of God. I want to share something very simple with you that speaks to Bill Gray's heart. Because I'm a simple kind of a guy. I'll never build an edifice of the glory of God. Probably never go on a big sacrificial thing. I don't want to become a monk. I love to be married. Okay? And I know my wife doesn't want to become a nun. Okay? But let me share with you three things, if you will, very personal, very practical about how we glorify God. First of all, love him. Love him. That's where it starts. To glorify God in our lives, in our homes, to love the Lord God. Take a look, if you will. This is a quote by the Lord Jesus from an Old Testament Shema, if you will, there in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. So to glorify God in our hearts and in our homes, it begins with this. We love God. We love God. Now that works out in many special ways too, of where your priorities are, where my priorities are, for our family, for our children. If we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, it certainly establishes priorities. But there's something else. I want you to catch this. If you love the Lord and you make him first in your life, you're really going to trust him because he's trustworthy. You're in a love relationship with him. You know, the people that we really trust are only the people that we love. It's not the people that we don't love. And so one of the manifestations, if you will, one of the evidences of our loving God is that we trust Him. And that's why he says there in Proverbs, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That word, in all your ways acknowledge Him, is a love word. It's a word about relationships. The only reason you and I can truly trust God, we've entered into that relationship with Him, the work of His Holy Spirit. And He's shown us in His Word, in the living Word, His Son, Jesus Christ, that He is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is God. And so to glorify Him, we must love Him. Then there's something else, too. To glorify Him, we must obey Him. Take a look at the verse you have there before you, John 14. Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Elsewhere the Lord says, same chapter, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So one of the practical ways we demonstrate that we glorify God is that we obey Him. We obey Him because He is born of God. Another way that we express our love for Him, glorify Him rather, is to honor Him. Take a look at the verse you have there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. To honor, to speak of Him, if you will, to show how great He is, to tell our children, our great God and Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work of His Holy Spirit is working in our family right now. Yes, we're facing a challenge, maybe a financial challenge, maybe a physical challenge. But it's an opportunity to see how great our God is. Amen? It also works in conflicts too. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. To honor Him. And that's what it means. As you and I do it in the name of Jesus, we realize that without Jesus, we would be nothing. We could do nothing. But in the name of Jesus, in honoring Him, we do it for His glory. You see, the gospel does make a change. It makes a change in our lives. And it changes not only our life, but the lives that we're in relationship with. Our husbands, our wives, our children. And so the first thing we need to say, or we need to ask, when we have a family conflict, and those family conflicts, they never stop. Have you found that? You know, you wish they did, but they don't stop. You know, when they're little, they're different kind of conflicts, right? But as they get bigger, it seems like the conflicts get bigger too. And they're always there. And so the first thing that you and I need to do, whatever level, or wherever that conflict is in our home, in our family, we need to ask this question. You might want to write this down. How can I glorify God through this conflict? How can I glorify God through this conflict? In essence, what you're saying is that I want to glorify you, Lord, not only in my heart, but in my home. And I'm acknowledging that in your sovereign grace, you've allowed this conflict, this issue, this situation to come up where I can glorify you through it. How can I glorify God through this situation? The next, if you will, next part of the plan that God gives us is get the log out of your own eyes. And we all have logs. I have logs, you have logs too. You know that passage, you have it right before you. I've made reference, if you will. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your eye, your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What we're saying there is, conflict rises up. You make that decision, I'm going to glorify God in this situation, in this conflict. Lord, teach me how I can glorify you through it. That, Lord, I want to first of all look at the log in my own eye. What's going on in my heart? How have I contributed? How have I added to this conflict? Whatever that conflict might be, right now, what's my part in it? It's so easy to see the part the other one has. Oh, it's so easy for me to see Scott's part, my son's part, in the conflict we had. It was so easy for me to see Kim's part in it and Rachel's part in it. And yet I had to see Bill Gray's part in it. Their dad. And this goes with whatever relationship we're in. We need to first see the log in our own eye, those issues in our own heart. And they may be pride. It may be self-centeredness. It may be bitterness and resentfulness, if you will, or anger from a past conflict that was never resolved and reconciled. Because those things, it's sort of like a gunny sack. You guys who hunt, you know, your small game, you get another squirrel. Where do you put it? Well, in your sack there, right? And you keep on hunting. Or maybe it's a pheasant, maybe it's quail. You keep going. You can't put a deer in there, I know. Most of you are deer hunters, okay? But please bear with me, okay? And you put that in the sack again. And then you're finished, right? Well, sometimes we do that with conflicts in our family. Whether it's conflict with our wife, our husband, with our children. We don't resolve it. We don't see the reconciliation there. And we put it in the sack. So every time another conflict comes up, you know, we take inventory. Well, you know, you've done this 23 times. The same thing. Have you ever done that? So we need to get the log out of our own eye, the issues of our own heart. Maybe it's pride, maybe it's self-centeredness, maybe it's anger from a previous unreconciled situation. Maybe it's seeking the praise and the affirmation or the applause of others. And so you're really hard on your child or your son or your grandson or granddaughter. Because you want people to say, aren't they a nice family? On the outside, they see that. But on the inside, behind the doors of the home, what's going on? What is raging? We have to first look at our own heart. We need to get the log out of our own eyes. That's the next step. But it's a good step because God helps us along the way. So we need to ask this question. What is my part in the conflict? How have I contributed to it? And how must I deal with it? How do you deal with it? You see the sin. Write this down. You see the sin. You confess the sin. And you take responsibility for the sin. That's what it means. To see the log in my own eye. I see the sin. I confess to God. And I agree with Him that it's sin. And I take responsibility for it. Let me share with you three things that can help you in that process of seeing the sin, confessing the sin, and taking responsibility for that sin. Number one is prayer. Prayer. Prayer is a very important part of that, that you and I can pray, and we can say to the Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Like David in Psalm 139, test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So one of the helps that God gives us so that we can see the log in our own eyes, we can see our part in the conflict. We pray, Lord, show me my part. I really see her part, but Lord, I want to see my part. Number two, God's word. God's word will instruct us, it will correct us, it will reprove us. God's word. God uses his word. This whole series was predicated upon this, finding the sufficiency of Jesus Christ through his word. Amen? And so we see that, you know, pray. Get God's word into your heart. Get it into your mind. And God's word will reveal, as it says there in Hebrews, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You see, what I want to glorify God in resolving and reconciling conflict in my family, I've got to say, Lord, first show me my part in it. Lord, reveal to me. Allow your word to work and show me, correct me, and instruct me. And then there's a third thing. There's a third help that God gives us. And you write that down, the counsel of others. The counsel of others. Where there are counselors, there is victory, it says in Proverbs. The counsel. Those three things God has provided for us in Christ Jesus. Prayer, His Word, and the counsel of others, other godly people. God uses all that for us to see the sin, confess the sin, and take responsibility for it. Number two, the next thing, if you will, in your outline, gently restore with grace and love. Many verses speak of that. Take a look at the verse we have here. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep a watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Gently restore. The word caught in that verse there has the idea of a trap, or being hooked, if you will. Anybody see The Perfect Storm?
Some of you?
Okay. It was a great picture. It was about swordfish fishermen out there in the Outer Banks and whatnot. And there was the storyline is that there were three storm situations that converged in one, and it became the perfect storm. And but as they would go out there, and they would go out there for weeks at a time, there were two crew members on that ship that were at odds with one another. They really hated one another. And they made no bones about it. They're on the ship. And then when they went to another place to fish for swordfish, because where they went before, they weren't catching anything. All the crew members had to be on topside, and they would go ahead and put the bait on the hooks. If you remember that part of the picture, and then of course, it was a long trolling line with many, many hooks. And so one of those two that were fighting with one another, his hand got hooked. And the line pulled it right overboard, and it went down in. The guy that he was in conflict with jumped overboard to save him. You know, that's a great picture for when we have conflict in our family. Sometimes there's anger. Sometimes there might even be a little hatred too. But you know, when you see that one caught in fault, are you going to take that step? Are you going to go after that one to rescue, to restore that one? So that's the next step. Gently restore. Restore. The word restore there is to mend. In fact, it has the idea of setting bones so that they can heal properly. I remember sometimes in the early pastorate, actually our first pastor, all of us guys had the idea that we can fix things, and we really can't. Things that really matter. And, it was easy, the pastor confronts, doesn't he? But I didn't do it with gentleness. And even with my own children, I would confront them, but not with gentleness, not with grace and love. Until I was convicted, I realized that was not helping. That was not true reconciliation on the basis of God's word. So when we would deal with conflicts in our home and our family, we'd say, Scott, this is what you've done. I want to be able to help you as a father. I want to see you grow up into a godly man. And Scott, this is wrong, God. So how can we work this out? And before we finish, I learned that I had to pray with my son. I had to pray with my daughter. I had to pray with my wife. Because any degree of reconciliation without the Lord working in that. Oh, confrontation's easy, beloved. But you've got to gently restore in grace and love. I thank the Lord that I learned that in the early part of my ministry, because I really could have ruined a lot of lives. I mean that. And the ones that are most close to me would be my son Scott, my daughter Rachel, my daughter Kimberly. And I would never want to ruin their lives. I would want to be the example of what Christ would have me to be. And I know that's true for you men too. And I know that's true for you moms as well. That you would be all that Christ will make you to be. So your children have a model, an example of what it means to resolve conflicts in a Christ-honoring way. Beloved, pray for me because I'm still learning. I'm still learning. What about you? Are you learning? The next point is go and be reconciled. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, in God as Christ, God in Christ forgave you. Just resolving the issue itself without reconciliation, I have found, both in my personal life, marriage, and family, just resolving the issue without true reconciliation of the relationship, that issues will keep coming around and around and around and around. And whatever base in the relationship to address those issues, because conflicts come. But you need to know, and I do too need to remember all the time, if I'm just resolving the conflict without reconciling the relationship, I could have lost Scott. I could have lost Kimberly. I could have lost Rachel. How is your family doing? How is your family? You see, relationships are so important. So go and be reconciled. Power of forgiveness in the context of the family. And the last one there you see on your outline, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says there, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. I want to grow. I want to see my children grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. What about your children? I'm sure you want that same thing for them. I'm sure that you also, like me and my wife Diana, we want the same thing for our grandchildren. Some of you have not only grandchildren, but you also have great-grandchildren. I applaud you. I mean that with all my heart. I praise the Lord for you, that you have that opportunity to glorify God in your relationship with your family. Praise God. It's a great opportunity. It really is. And as you see here, some of the steps, as you glorify the Lord, take out, if you have your outline before you, let me catch up to you. I don't have my outline here. But anyhow, it's a glorify God. Number two, get the log out of our own eyes. Number three, gently restore with grace and love. Number four, go and be reconciled. Number five, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Together. Would you turn with me to Colossians, just in closing? I want to read a passage for you. Colossians chapter 3. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 1164. I just want to show you the great enablement and promise the Lord has for you and me, for us, in resolving and reconciling family relationships. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Take a look at verse 12 and follow with me as I read to verse 17, part A. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What God has provided for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. If you have a family, praise God for it. Make it your objective to glorify God in your family. If your conflicts come up, keep that objective in mind. If your conflicts are coming and you're facing them, begin with the log in your own eye. Move on to gently restore with grace and love, and go and be reconciled. Then grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Forgive me. I did say that we would close. We'll be asking you to pray. Some of you may have some conflicts going on in your family, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Why don't we just pray right now and ask the Lord to enable me to be all that he would have us to be in Christ Jesus for his glory, and to follow through on this plan. I have heard and have seen families that no longer have reunions anymore because of the family feuds going on. I have seen children that we care less about their siblings. You have seen that too. Where did it start? Did it start today? No. As we pray, let's ask the Lord to cover that past in his blood. And say, Lord, give me your grace to forgive that past, and to start afresh with you for your glory. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for all that you have given to us, for life and godliness in your Son, Jesus Christ, that you are at work in the lives of your children, both the will and to do your good pleasure. And Father, we know that it pleases you that we be reconciled, first and foremost reconciled with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by Christ within us to be reconciled with one another, in our families, in our church family. So Lord, we thank you that in you we have every sufficiency to see that happen, to see that become a part of our lives, in our families. Father, I pray for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, where there is a conflict and discord, where there's fractured families. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray that indeed your glory would be seen in all of this, and for your glory, I would apply these principles for not just a resolution of the conflict, but a true reconciliation with our loved ones and friends. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.